This is not a time, Christians, for cute Christianity. This is not a time to placate the masses. This is a time for Christians to take their stand.
Dr. Tony Evans explains why we need to pay more attention to what the Bible says about our ballots.
If you and I want to see a nation healed and helped, then we must not extract God from government. And that should be manifested in your thinking as you go into the voting booth.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. They say two subjects we're supposed to avoid in polite conversation are politics and religion. Well, today, Dr. Evans will break both of those rules as he talks about the biblical standards Christians need to consider when we go to the polls. Let's join him as he begins.
Kingdom voting. We have already said what kingdom voting is. It is the opportunity and responsibility of citizens to partner with God to expand His rule in society through civil government. It is incumbent upon Christians to first and foremost ascribe themselves not to a political party, but to the superintending governance of God through civil government. It is to the degree that we operate under this umbrella, under this alignment with God, when it comes to your voting and your participation in the politics of the day, whether you lean Democrat or Republican, it is your kingdom-centeredness, because you're covenantally aligned, that should influence, guide, and govern your vote. The Bible makes it clear in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, which says this: every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Okay? I hope you caught that. If you want the right kind of government, God must be in the equation. Let me put it another way. The further you remove God's person and God's policies, because a lot of folk believe in God's person who ignore His policies, then you have removed yourself from the place of blessing and covering as a nation. Or to put it another way, the further you remove God's person and policies from what a government believes, how a government operates, the character of the leaders who make up that government, then you have removed yourself from divine blessing. No matter how much you pray, and no matter how much you use the God word, He says, then you have messed with God's authority and you've messed with God's ordinance. He talks about the ordinance of God in verse 2. In other words, God has rules, right? The ordinance of God. You don't make up rules, even when it comes to government. You find out His rules and you obey those ordinances, those governing guidelines. That's why the Pledge of Allegiance and the idea of America is so great, because it recognized that there are inalienable rights given by the Creator that belongs to all men. And that if we're under God, we benefit from that. I am the president of my house, okay? I'm the potentate of my crib where I live, all right? As my kids were growing up, they would often bring in ideas that were foreign to my governing guidelines. I would say, this is what we do in our house, this is how we do it. But because of peer pressure, because of what they were learning in school, because of the ones they were playing ball with, because of their friends, they would bring in perspectives that did not go along with my headship over my house. That would inevitably create a conflict between me and them. Because in my house, my rules should rule as long as my rules were consistent with God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So as long as I'm consistent with Him, foreign rules needed to be resisted and rejected no matter how many people they came from and no matter how much the majority said it. If it disagreed with the head, guess what? This country said it was God's house. We said one nation under God said we're going to be God's house. If you're going to be God's house, then it doesn't matter what everybody else says if the head of the house has spoken on any given subject. And so God is calling a nation of citizens to recognize His rules. He goes on to say, for rulers, verse 3, are not a cause for fear for good behavior, but for evil. That's safety. But that's also righteousness. He says, there's good behavior, there's bad behavior. Well, now, wait a minute. If there's good behavior and bad behavior, who's defining what's good and what's bad? Because once everybody gets to define it as they think it is, then you can have competing definitions of goodness. Good is because God says it's good. Bad is because God says it's bad. That's why the Ten Commandments was thou shalt not. He was giving a standard of good and bad. That's why we have laws, to give a standard of good and bad. He says that those ordinances come from God. Now, that means not only is there a standard of right and wrong, that means you have to know what that standard is. And the ordinance comes from God. Oh, if we would take this definition of government seriously, vote accordingly, and bring God's perspective appropriately to bear on every system of government, then we would bring healing to the land, unity to the land, because if people learn to operate by the rules of engagement that were righteous and just and unifying, and if our leaders use their position to bring justice and righteousness and unity so that we can experience the freedom God offers as He defines it, then our nation would take on a different template. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 4:8 that nations became great because they followed God's righteous laws. If we're going to experience help and healing in our country, then your vote has to vote for God's way, whether you vote or Democrat or Republican, because once you come out the booth, you're only going to follow God's prescription, as we will see defined as we go along. So, He calls those who are in power, the political leaders, verse 4, for it is a minister, referring to the rulers, of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Guess what He calls a civil leader? A minister. Now, I know we think of ministers as preachers, right? The person behind the pulpit, and that is a minister. In fact, every Christian is called to be a minister on some level. But He calls now civil servants ministers. And not only call them ministers, He calls them ministers of God. Now, we know in the ministry, you can have a bad minister and you can have a good minister. They still give them the title minister, but that doesn't mean they're good ministers. It just means they hold the position of minister. In fact, some countries call their civil servants ministers. The minister here over Rome was a bad dude. He was terrible. Nero, but he held the position. You can have a bad political leader. You can have a good political leader. The job of Christians is to call them into account personally and policy-wise to be good ministers. You don't just pick policy and skip person. You don't just skip person and grab policy, because the ordinances are in the hands of the minister. And the minister is a person, he says, their ruler. You call for both. Some people talk about policy. Some people talk about person. No, if you're going to be a minister of God, you're supposed to be a good one in both categories. He says they are to represent God in good. He says they don't bear the sword in vain. A Roman soldier, they were the policemen of the day. They carried the sword. The sword was for two things: intimidation. You saw them coming, you go, we better not do this. The soldiers are here. And it was for judgment and justice, to keep evil from proliferating. Whether it was evil by the citizenry or evil by the leaders, the sword was a place of intimidation and judgment, meaning evil would not be ignored. Why? Because you want a safe, just, and righteous environment. Because freedom can't flourish if there is no safety, if there is no righteousness, and if there is no justice. And so he calls on them to hold and administer a standard of righteousness. In fact, 1 Timothy 2:2 says to pray for your leaders, pray for your politicians, that they may create an environment of peace. And so we are to hold our leaders accountable for the peacefulness of the environment in which we live.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to talk about the standards by which we ought to measure our leaders. The whole subject of politics has become polluted with anger, hate, and violence. Churches and even families have been split apart because people believe that only their perspective or party has the answers. Well, Dr. Evans says disagreements are one thing, but disunity is another. He talks about the difference in his book and Bible study, Kingdom Politics. It explores ways we can defend our positions with compassion and grace, treating those who disagree with us with kindness and respect. At the same time, it spells out biblical principles that'll help us make godly decisions on Election Day. We're convinced that every believer should be equipped with this before going to the polls, so we're making it available as our gift when you make a donation toward Tony's ministry. Along with it, we'll send you the full-length versions on CD or digital download of all 10 lessons in his current series, Returning God to Government, as well as streaming content from Dr. Evans to supplement his Kingdom Politics Bible study. Now, this is a limited-time offer, so request it right away before time runs out. You can do that online at tonyevans.org, where you can also browse through our huge collection of audio, video, and print resources. Or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 and get some in-person help from one of our team members. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that information for you after part two of today's lesson and this.
Does your heart belong to the sea? Dr. Tony Evans is inviting you on an unforgettable Mexican Riviera cruise, setting sail from November 9th through the 16th. Join Dr. Evans for impactful sermons against the breathtaking backdrop of the Mexican Riviera. You'll see cities like Cabo San Lucas, Mazatlan, and Puerto Vallarta along the coast of Mexico. Visit tonyevans.org to book your spot today. Renew your spirits and your faith. Enjoy and explore.
So, what's our standard? Is it what I think, how I feel, how I was raised, what I prefer? I remember the movie Inception. That was one of the most brain-straining movies in the history of movies. Here's a guy who got into other people's dreams to figure out what they were thinking based on what they were dreaming. He got so deep into other folks' dreams that he didn't know whether he was in a dream or in reality, because he had gotten so deep into their thinking that he didn't know where he was. He was all confused at the things happening around him. So to help him out, he got a spinning top. It was a tool he used. And this spinning top was a tool to help him know whether he was in dreamland, dream world, or whether he was in reality. Because the voices were coming at him, and he'd gotten so used to living in this dream world, he didn't know whether he was in it or out of it. He He would spin the top. He knew that if the top never stopped spinning, he was in the dream world. He wasn't in reality. He also knew if the top started wiggling and wobbling and fell over, then that meant he was in real time and space, and therefore he was in reality. In other words, there was so much coming at him that he needed an objective standard outside of himself to tell himself what reality really was. Well, we're dealing with an inception situation right now. You got Democrats. You got Republicans. You got libertarians. You got this issue, that issue, two parts of the same issue. You've got police. You've got community. And you've got arguments coming at both sides. You've got this politician, that politician, and it's coming at us. And sometimes you don't know which world you're in. You fluctuate. Well, I like this over here, but I don't like that over there. I like this over here, but I don't like that over there. And you can wind up being totally confused. So you need a tool, something to help you discriminate through all the muck and mire of the confusion as you consider who you're going to vote for. You need a tool. That tool has to be the divine standard. On each issue, your first question is not who you're going to vote for. That's a secondary question. I know it's the one we talk about. The first question is, who does God want me to vote for? Now, based on the issues, every Christian still won't vote the same, but they should ask the same question, because you're a kingdom independent. What's the tool? What's the scripture saying about the issue? And you go to that first. And you don't get mad if the scripture says something other than you think or believe. You affirm yourself to the sovereignty of God because he rules the nations. And I love Proverbs 8:15. He says, by me kings reign. By me kings reign. So if you want a king to rule right, a politician to rule correct, he says they got to rule by me. I set the standard. Government is to execute safety. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says, this just execution of safety should be done quickly so that people do not have to live in fear. It must be done justly, however. But then it says in chapter 12, verse 19, when government does this, you cannot take personal retribution. He says that. In other words, you don't become your own government. It's like a basketball game or football game. What do they have? They've got refs. What do? They govern the game. Now, if you start taking matters into your own hand illegitimately, then they will throw a penalty on you, even if you weren't the one in the wrong because you took matters into your own hands. That's why you must have a righteous government who will take matters quickly and make righteous judgments quickly and just judgments quickly. So the citizenry doesn't think it has to take matters illegitimately, because there are legitimate ways to take them, but illegitimately in their own hands. So this principle of government, God's covered everything. There is not one issue in government that you can come up with to which God has not given a precept or a principle to govern how you should view that issue. And if only Christians would vote with that world, covenantal worldview in mind. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20 says, if you bypass God's rule, you don't have the dawn. In other words, you can't see straight. And I think there's a lot of blindness today, all around, both parties, on the police side, on the citizen side, everywhere. There's blindness. Why? Because people have not decided to keep God in government, which is what the scripture says you must do. Therefore, he says, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. God must be included in government in order to have government function in the way God designed it to function. A kingdom voter brings a biblical worldview to the ballot box. A kingdom voter votes for the person and the policies that will best advance the kingdom of God and the definition of civil government that I have articulated for you today. And if you and I would take this rule seriously, Christians could lead the way. Because, you know, as you've heard me say, Christians are one of the major problems because we haven't been kingdom minded. We've been more cultural minded and political party minded that we've not set the stage. And so we have contributed to the chaos greatly. But now is the time in the midst of the chaos that we can step forward and set a new temperature. In Genesis chapter 11, the first 9 verses, God let there be confusion in the land because they wanted society without him. And the Bible says, and so there was confusion. You leave him out of your vote, of our vote, on person and policy. There will be more confusion in the land. And we're the ones who have what God thinks. But what we've done is we've allowed our own identities, our own races, our own preferences to keep us from taking a comprehensive stand on righteousness and justice in the life of our society. You remove being under God. We remove being under God. We will discover we are a nation gone under. We remove under God, in practice, we will be a nation gone under. You're seeing it. It's right before your eyes. But God has given us a brief opportunity to turn this thing around. If we will operate as a nation, covenantally, as kingdom voters, we hold him in high esteem. In God we trust. It's on our money. One nation under God. It's in our Pledge of Allegiance, in our Declaration of Independence. We say, by our Creator, we begin political events with invocations. We close them with benedictions. He is held in high esteem. But when it comes to how the nation operates and often how Christians vote, he has no clout at all. We could care less what he thinks, what he says, and how he feels about it, because this is how I feel and what I think. We'll keep him in position because we'll go to church. We'll sing our songs. We'll wave our hand in the air like we just don't care. We'll give him position while ripping him of power. If you and I want to see a nation healed and helped, then we must not extract God from government. And that should be manifested in your thinking as you go into the voting booth.
Dr. Tony Evans on the importance of making sure our faith powers our politics. It's part of his current series called Returning God to Government, a practical look at how God's kingdom agenda ought to shape the decisions we make each election day. We're offering the complete 10-part collection on CD or digital download as our thank you gift when you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. And as I mentioned earlier, it'll come to you bundled with a copy of his brand new Bible study, streaming video content, and helpful book, Kingdom Politics. It's the perfect package of resources to review on your own or to study and share with your small group before going to the polls in November. But this offer is only available for a limited time, so don't wait. Get the details today at tonyevans.org or give us a phone call at 1-800-800-3222, where members of our resource team are standing by to help with your request day and night. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. America offers its people the right to be free. But next time, Dr. Evans will explain that when it comes to understanding what freedom really is, many of us have gotten our rights all wrong. I hope you'll join us for that. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.